and my night was turned to day.
Heaven came down
and glory filled my soul, filled my soul.
Amen. And good morning to everyone. It is good to be in the house of the Lord this morning. How you doing? God is good. And we thank him for blessing us to wake up and see another day. This is the day the Lord has made. And let us rejoice. Let us rejoice. And be glad in it. Amen. 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 Thank the Lord. Things could be worse, couldn't they? Mm-hmm. Yeah, you're here this morning. I know several who wish they were here this morning. Some of them perhaps are watching right now. If you're in bed, if you're in the hospital bed, if you're at home, you are hindered in some kind of way, if you're taking care of a loved ones, we love you. And especially if you're members of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, we miss you, and we hope and pray that your circumstance will change very soon, that you could be here amongst the saints. Don't we, saints?
Yes, sir.
If you're watching, if you're not a member of this body, if you're just searching, if you're turning the channel, stop for a moment. You don't need to watch the news right now. Sports Center be on all night long. Stop and listen to a word from the Lord. Amen. And hopefully we can say something that may touch your heart, prick your heart, may cause you to think, cause you to question, cause you to want to talk to somebody. If you call the number on the screen, especially if you call during office hours now, if you're watching this by delay, somebody will be in our office at about 10 o'clock. The church office is this Sunday morning, 10 o'clock, for some time. If you call this morning, if you call during the week, if you email us or text us, we'll be glad to respond to your request. God is good. I'm in lesson number three of our series entitled Class Rules. We know schools are just kind of a staggering. The school is in for many of our schools, or my children, some last week, some this week, some next week. And we are mindful of that. We're mindful of our teachers. We're mindful of our administrators. And the church has been praying and will continue to pray for a successful school year for all involved in our school districts. You have an awesome responsibility, and we want you to know that we're praying for you and praying with you. Although this series is not about our secular schools, we do believe that it seems the most successful teachers are clear, very clear in their expectations of their students. And many of them lay the groundwork when they first start in a class. The first part, they lay down the class rules. All of my favorite, I guess I can call them favorite, but my best teachers, they were clear in their expectations, and they were clear in their instruction. And so you knew where you stood. You knew what you needed to do in order to succeed in the class. And God is the same way. God is very clear in his instruction to his people. Now, we cloud it up, but if we just stay with his word, we will be all right. Would you agree with that? If we would stay with God's word, and I know some of it's gregarious, a matter of interpretation. Sometimes we just don't even know what the word says. Even get confused on interpretation. And so as we go through some of these scriptures, and we have entitled this class rules, but it has to do with church rules. And I say church rules, not this building, because the Bible tells us that Jesus died, gave his life for the church. And he's coming back again for the church. And salvation is found in the church, Acts 2:47. The saved are in the church. So do we need to know about the church? Amen. And I know there's another lesson I could give on the church, but I want to share some passages. And we talked about our lessons were the responsibilities of have been the responsibilities of the evangelists and the elders who are the shepherds, the overseers, the bishops of the Lord's church, and God has given them charge as they must give an account of their leadership. It's a different role than other roles in the church, in that not only are they responsible for their own souls, they are also responsible, notice this, for all the souls of the church. And I don't know about you, but that's an awesome responsibility. Yeah, and we started with the responsibilities of the evangelists and the shepherds, the bishops, because so goes a school, so goes an organization, so goes a company, so goes the leadership of that school, that organization, of the company, so goes that company. Amen. And it's hard to rise above poor leadership. It's difficult to rise above poor leadership. And so God, in our homes, the Bible says the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And when the head is messed up, the whole home is messed up. Amen, somebody? And see, we have a head that's like no other head in the Lord's church. So we have the ultimate example, and we have no excuse for us falling by the wayside, because we have a wonderful great head, and that's of Jesus Christ. And so we started with the head, and so I won't review those responsibilities, but I want, for the sake of those that were not here, because now we're on the responsibilities of the members, and I want you to receive this the way the Bible intended for us to receive it. But don't think that you will not give an account to your activities in the Lord's church, just like the elders will give an account of their activities. And so last week we talked about some of the things, and this is not exhaustive. It does not include everything. We just don't have time to cover all the details. But we talked about members have the responsibility to encourage and build up each other, to encourage and build up each other. First Thessalonians 5 and verse number 11, to encourage and build up one another, to comfort one another. We have the responsibility to grow as members of the body of Christ. The Bible says in Ephesians 4:15 that we are to grow up in all aspects. Amen, church? Yeah, we're to grow up in every aspect of our lives, not just on Sunday mornings. Yeah, on our jobs. In our neighborhoods, in our leisure, in our relationships, not just with our spouses, in our relationships with our brothers and sisters, our families, in all aspects of our lives. We're to grow up, and hopefully we're growing in here. Are we growing, church? Yeah, I hope we're growing. I hope we're growing. Some seem like some days we grow better than others, don't it? Yeah. And then last week we also talked about 1 Thessalonians 5:12. Everybody focus on the word of God. If it 1 Thessalonians 5:12, but we request of you that you appreciate. We talked about appreciation last week. Appreciation in this, in context, is talking about appreciating the leaders of the church. We're talking about the members' responsibility. This is directly to the members, to appreciate those who diligently labor among you. It's hard to appreciate somebody who's not diligently laboring, but the scripture says to appreciate those who diligent labor, and we talked about that, and have charge over you in the Lord and give you instruction. In verse 13, I didn't read this last week. Verse 13, it says, and that you esteem them very highly. That's what the scripture says, talking about the members. Esteem them very highly in love because of their work, not because they're any special, more special than anybody else, but to highly respect the leaders of the church. Amen. Amen. That's what the scripture says. It does say that, huh? I just heard one amen on that one. That's what it says. And I'm not talking about me necessarily, but I'm just talking about appreciating the leaders. And we talked about even how ways that we can show appreciation, and how we show appreciation, to be kind, to pray for the leaders, to not be quick to charge the leaders, encourage them to be faithful. And then you'll see in a minute to obey the leaders. Obey the leaders. One young man, well, actually two people came to me after service a little bit later on, and a couple of them have said this before. And sometimes we all come from different backgrounds in the Lord's church. Some of you grew up in the Church of Christ, but everybody didn't grow up in the Church of Christ. One brother said, Brother Gary, we need to have an appreciation for you. And I said, well, brother, I appreciate you saying that. I said, but I would prefer that you not do. And he was talking about a special program to appreciate. And by the way, Church of Christ members, most of us avoid those kind of things in the Church of Christ, and a pastor's appreciation, because it seems like some folks just go overboard with it. But these individuals, they were being kind. I said, we need to have an appreciation. I said, no, brother, I prefer you. He said, no, you work hard, and the church need to appreciate you. I said, well, brother, I appreciate you saying that. I said, but I don't, and I'm saying this, and I said also last week and the week before that this lesson, this is really kind of an in-house lesson. We know you may be visiting, you may be searching for a church home, and we hope that you would consider the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. But you go to some churches, they may say different things, but I'm reading out of the Word of God, and I'm going to try to interpret this, but I'm the evangelist of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ. The elders are shepherds of the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, and so we will give an account for what we do in this local body. Directly. And so the instruction, especially, it's for all. I believe it's for all Christians. But here at this local, I would prefer that you wouldn't do that for me. And I'm just saying that for me. Now, I know we've had appreciations for most of the time. The appreciations we have a program to honor our shepherds who've gone. Like, for instance, my dad, I know Brother Tillman, Brother Adams, and those who've retired. And there's nothing wrong with showing appreciation for leaders. And so I don't want the church to say, well, no, we shouldn't have done that. There's nothing wrong with showing appreciation for a person, for a man who's labored in the Lord and was faithful to the Lord. Amen. There's nothing wrong with that. And don't talk about other churches they had appreciation for that. They preach over there. I had appreciation for, they just getting worldly. That's not worldly. It's what they chose to do. Amen. For their preacher. And there's nothing wrong with showing a Bible says to highly esteem those who labor in the Lord. But I'm saying for us here at the Fifth Ward Church of Christ, for me in particular, I don't want that. And I'm just letting the church know I'm uncomfortable with all that attention just on me. Amen. Now, if the Lord say the same, if I live long enough and I'm at this church long enough to retire, I don't mind you doing it when I'm on my way out. Amen. Amen. But I don't need that now. Amen. So don't try to surprise me when I've been here. If the Lord blessed me to be here 20, 25 years, don't try to surprise me with an appreciation, because I'm not going to show up. Is that all right? And I'm just saying that for me, in particular. I just wanted to say that. But there's nothing wrong with showing appreciation. Amen. Amen. And many of you have shown, not only me, the shepherds, you show appreciation in your own way. And don't let nobody stop you from showing appreciation. Some of you will give us a gift every now and then. And that's nothing wrong with that, because I'm going to tell you something. The leaders need some encouragement. Sometimes the leaders need encouragement. We may look like we got shields on, but that shield got some dents in it. I can tell you that they got some dents in it. And but I didn't want to damper the brothers, but I, at the same time, I want them to know up front. Don't. Now, I do know one thing that I need to do. And I appreciate our leaders. I appreciate this church. I appreciate everything. And I try to work hard for the Lord, but I do need to learn how to break off and break away, where I can have some downtime. I need to do a little better job of that, and I'm gonna try to do. My wife tell me all the time, but it seems like it's just so much to do, but you can't do everything. And when I say break off and break away, I mean I need to learn how, because even every now and then I take a couple of days off and do some things, but I just can't. Even when I take off, like when we go out of town, a lot of times it's like I'm working. I got to teach. I got to preach. I need to break off so my cell phone don't call and I got to talk to somebody 2 hours on the phone. So you're gonna have to help me with that one, okay? Whenever it happens, but I do. I, from the scripture, I understand why this is in the Bible. And this has to come from the members. to highly esteem the, it goes on to say this. Listen to what Timothy said in 1 Timothy 5:17. The elders who rule well are to be considered worthy of double honor. That's what the Bible says. Now notice it says who rule well. Who rule well. Now the shepherds, all of us need to hear this. Because see, all of us have a responsibility, but the church knows when we're not ruling well. I mean, we might get away with it sometimes, but the church knows who is ruling well. He goes on to say, especially those who work hard at preaching and teaching. This is in the Bible. And so it says double honor. I don't know how to describe double honor, but I do know this. The double honor means the utmost respect. It means that a man who labors and who studies and who preaches and who teaches and who is diligent and who is faithful and who is faithful to his family and faithful to the church. He says, church, give him respect. That's what the Bible said. That's the member's responsibility to show that man. Now I know some places and some denominations have taken this too far. When I say too far, I mean, you know, we put titles on men that the Bible has not put on men. And we say that's why I call him reverend, because I'm highly esteemed. That holy and reverend is God's name. And God's name alone. I'm not worthy to be called reverend. Yes, yeah, so you read Matthew chapter 23, that chapter, and you'll see that I believe that we are not to go, we're not to think, I think I put it, listen to Romans chapter 12 and verse 2, Romans 12:2, for through the grace given to me, this is the Apostle Paul, and you know who Paul was, you know who he was, I say to everyone among you, not to think more highly of himself than he ought to think, but to think as to have sound judgment as God has allotted to each a measure of faith. And that's why I say for me, I don't encourage me. You give me whatever you want to give me, but I don't need the church to have a day just for Gary Smith to show him appreciation till I'm on my way out of here. Amen, somebody. Why, Brother Gary? Because I don't want you to lift me up any higher than God has lifted me up. And I just want to stay humble, because I know as soon as I get way up there, somebody will pow and shoot me down. And I'll be on the news somewhere. And I want to stay under the grace of God. If that's all right with you, if that's all right with you. He says this and so how do we show appreciation? There are many ways we can show appreciation, but obey. Obey. That's a nasty word, seems like, to obey. In the same context, we read 1 Thessalonians 5. In the same context, listen to this, what he says in verse 14, and it's the context of leadership, of the shepherds especially. He says, we urge you, brethren. And he's talking to the leaders. He's talking to the shepherds, to the elders. He says, admonish the unruly. Now, this is the elder's responsibility. He uses the word admonish. It's a word that means to warn. It's a word also that means to reprimand firmly. And he says to the shepherds, admonish the unruly. Then he tempers it. But he says, encourage the faint-hearted. And in the church, in the body, we have a lot of individuals who struggle, and to the point that I almost want to give up. And it's the shepherd's responsibility to encourage the faint-hearted. You know, sometimes we talk about the faint heart. Oh, they just need to grow up. They just need to, you know, just get. She always need. They always. Yeah. Yeah. Help us, Lord Jesus. Yeah. Yeah. Just some folks in the church seem like they're more needy than others. And it's held to the shepherds. You encourage, because see, some of us give encouragement, and it's good. People, all of us want encouragement, but it's something when a leader humbles himself, when a leader puts his hands, when a leader makes a phone call, when a leader touches somebody, when a leader says, you know, it's going to be all right, because it's coming from God's leader. And he says to the leaders, encourage the faint heart. Then he goes on to say, he says, help the weak. That's what the scripture says. It says, help the weak. He says, be patient with everybody. That's why anybody don't need to be an elder. Because you have to have this mindset that you know, you have to be wise enough to know when to be firm with somebody. You know, because some people do stuff and you just seem like they're just playing games. And you know the history, and some people are affecting other folks. You trying to gather or get a crowd for yourself or lead somebody down the road. The elders have to be watchful and say, look, brother, hold up, brother. In love, but firmly enough. But then you got so many in the church that just weak. Can I ask a question? See, you remember we talk about the responsibilities of the member. That's why it's the utmost. It's our responsibility as members of us is to grow up. You see, we don't need to stay weak all our life. He says, grow up in all aspects of our lives, and all this ties together because listen to other responsibilities. Because see, God wants all the members to be faithful to the church. See, you're not going to grow up. You're not going to grow in the knowledge. You're not going to grow in the grace of the Lord until you change some of your habits, some of our habits, and change some of our actions and some of our ways. It's not going to happen by osmosis. I don't know if I said it in 8 o'clock service or 11 o'clock service, but I believe that consistent, faithful membership in a local congregation is commanded in Scripture. I believe that. Now, I'm going to read some passages. I said, you know, George, you know, it ain't about coming to church all the time. It ain't about, you know, I'm the church. We the church. You know, you said it right then, because you not the church by yourself. The very word church means assembly. It's when bodies assemble. The call out from the world. You are not the church by yourself. God never intended the church to be in one entity, an island by ourselves. Listen to Hebrews chapter 13, verse 17. I'm gonna see if I can back that statement up. He says, obey. Here it is again. We read it earlier. Obey them that have the rule over you. You see the awesome responsibility the shepherds have. Now we're talking about the members. Now we don't like the word obey, but the Bible gives qualifications for the shepherds in 1 Timothy chapter 3. And that's why most brothers don't qualify to be an elder, because the qualifications are pretty high, aren't they? Now some of us are growing, and hopefully we are growing to be qualified if we desire to be a shepherd in the Lord's church. Because once you are a shepherd, the Bible says to the members, you to obey that shepherd. Yeah, that's why we need to be careful about who we put in there. Amen. Amen. He says, obey them that have rule over you. Then it says, and submit yourself. That's what it says. Don't it say that in your Bible? For they watch for your souls. They watch for your souls. I'm glad I got somebody watching over me. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm glad I got somebody watching over me. Now, I don't need them watching every day. Yeah, you don't need that either, do you? But it's good when you get out of line that there is somebody who can put you in check. Yeah. Who can put you in check, see? And you see, the Bible tells the shepherds to be patient, to help the weak. And it's like we have, I brought my church calendar up here. We've designed this church calendar for the church activities in the church. And everybody have one of these? A lot of you do. Some of you may not have. I don't know if we have any. The year is almost over. You don't have one. But we may have a few that's left over there. But we put this calendar together with church activities in the calendar. A lot of thought goes into this calendar. And you have a lot of input. Our ministry leaders, our deacons, and there are activities on this calendar. And this calendar wasn't put together just to be a showpiece of pictures on your wall. Yeah, I know you're looking up. I don't see my picture in there. That's probably because you wasn't that. No, I'm screwed. I didn't finish that. You know, don't read my mind. But see, these dates. Some of you remember our goals for the year. We're trying to baptize 100 souls. Trying to convert 100 souls. We are hoping that every member would be involved in at least not just one, but at least one ministry. We've encouraged the church to participate. Our theme is consecrated, to set apart, to participate it and set apart activities, and you to set apart that time to do it. And then we've encouraged the church to give. You know, to give as your purpose in your heart, but to grow in our giving. And so those were thought out. Those are thought out. And it may seem like that they are just suggestions, because they are, from a leadership point of view, from the shepherds, from the evangelists, from the deacons, as we try to put all this, they are suggestions. We want the church to find your part in it. But from God's standpoint of view, when the shepherds put out activities, when they put out requests, when they ask, in your bulletin, when you see on the, I don't know if it's in this week's bulletin, but on the side, on the side of the bulletin on here, it says the shepherd. Here's the alphabets. They have the alphabets. They have the elders' council. And one of the, here it is. It says, honor the worship service. Honor our worship service. We ask that everyone stay. Hush, brother. Until the closing prayer is over before leaving service, worship service. Is that in your bulletin? I know this is not the Bible. This is the bulletin. But that's what the shepherds, they put that in there. And we know some people work. Some people, have babies, have schedules. And we understand that. So we're not saying that, but to those of us that's members of the body of Christ, and we're trying to grow in the Lord. Raise your hand if you're trying to grow in the Lord. Raise your hand. That's me. I'm trying to grow. Okay. Well, see, that's in the bulletin as a request, but it comes from the shepherds, the elders, and God says to the members of the body of Christ to obey the elders. That's what the scripture said. Oh, bro, you misinterpret. You saying that wrong. Well, you read it. It doesn't say everything. See, now of course, as just like with our parents, the Bible says in Ephesians chapter 6, verse 1, children, obey. Doesn't it say that? Children, obey your parents. Notice this, in the Lord. Now, if the elders ask us to do anything that violates God's law, as the apostles told those Jewish leaders, we obey God rather than man. Amen? And so that, no way would we ask anybody to follow any leader who's crooked, trying to tell you to do something that you know God don't want you to do. Amen. But when the elders ask us to do something, you know, the elders ask me to do stuff. Amen. They asked me to do something. Now, and I'm not saying that they, you know, the elders are not to lord over us. Amen. Amen. That means the elders are not out. The elders are not to watch everything that we do. You doing this, you do this, you do what I say you do. They are to lead by example. That's why they're called the shepherds also. They lead. Now, if they come in here late, hello, somebody. But also, sometimes you don't know exactly what the elders are doing. They have different responsibilities. We have shepherds who are over our money. You want somebody wise over your money, don't you? And there are protocols that they have to do to take care of the money. We have shepherds who watch the outskirts, who watch through committee the outskirts of things that's going on, even while we in worship service. And so don't try to figure out, well, he's supposed to be doing this, he's supposed to be doing that. What we need to do is do what we're supposed to be doing. Amen, amen, somebody. And it says for us to obey them that have rule over us. And so it says to submit to them. Yeah, submit to them. Yeah. Submit to them. Don't be so uncooperative. I know what they say, but I got business to do. Well, okay, that's all right. We trying to grow up. For they watch for our souls. And so these activities are in the calendar because one of the primary responsibilities of the evangelists and the elders is to equip the saints for works of service. Amen. That's Ephesians 4, verse 12. Is one of our responsibilities is to equip the saints for works of service. So this is our effort in trying to create ministries, activities, where we can equip the saints, workshops and retreats and fellowships. We're trying to equip the saints for works of service. And so don't kick every time you see what they got. All this stuff. We know you can't do everything, but all of us can do something. Amen. Amen. Because we watch, they're watching for our souls. And they know, see, you know, I told you I went to a meeting and brother pulled out this calendar. I didn't know he was going to pull it out. Because, see, you know, it's not in the Bible. The Bible says the idle mind is the devil's what? It's not in the Bible. But you know, when you give us too much time on our own, and we're going to find something to do with our time. And many times it's not going to be something that's spiritual trying to get us to heaven. Yeah, it says, as they must give an account that they may do it with joy and not with grief. For that is unprofitable to you, the scripture says. And so our faithfulness, we've designed the times for our worship service. And one of the things that we've on this calendar that the elders have put forward this year, we talked about it. We know you haven't heard me preach that I believe you have to come to evening worship and for evening worship every Sunday or you're not going to go to heaven. I would never preach that. But right now we it's almost like we have two churches, 8 o'clock, 11:15, and there's some people that come to 11:15 that you see them out. You go to Fill Watch at the Grave, and they say the same thing about you. Yeah, they don't know who you are, but we are one body, aren't we? And so we say once a month, you know, try to come to one of the evening where we have even some dates that's suggested on the last Sunday evening or something like that. It's dates that we suggested. Everybody come to evening service. And it's just a suggestion. It's a try to encourage us. Amen. Yeah, and you know, well, we got so much things. Everybody got stuff to do. Can I ask a question? What you doing? I was just asking. And so that's, you know. Listen to Hebrews chapter 10, verse 24. I'm about to finish. Hebrews 10, 24. And let us, that's why I say this is in-house. This is in-house. Some churches, church leaders, they may not have the same standards. They may not have the same teaching. But I believe this is in line with what the Word of God would teach us. Our responsibilities as leaders and as members of the body of Christ. He says this. He says, and let us consider how to stimulate. Use the word stimulate. See, and that's some of us. That's just what we need is stimulation. Yeah. And it works both ways because somebody can stimulate us to do something that's shown off bad. But we trying to, he says, let us consider how we might stimulate. That's why we have fellowships. That's why we suggest coming to evening worship sometimes. And I'm not, those of you that come all the time, keep coming all the time, amen. Don't say, no, yeah, bro, I'm going to cut mine back. No, don't do that. That's why we have visitations. That's why we have work projects. That's why we have the Tuesday morning, 5:30 in the morning conference call. That's why we have service projects. That's why we take our kids to summer camp and we have summer enrichment programs. That's why we have programs for our singles. That's why the singles get together more than just at church, because we're trying to stimulate each other. Yeah. One another to love. We're trying to stimulate each other to love, to love, loving each other, to loving God and good deeds, not bad deeds, not evil deeds. All of us can do some evil deeds and bad deeds. You can walk out your door and do a bad deed. But you know what? To do a good deed, you have to be purposeful. And you got to be around people who also try to do good deeds. And we're trying to stimulate each other. We go to marriage retreats because we're trying to encourage these young brothers, the older brothers, stay with your wife. Stay with your husband. Treat your husband right. You see, there's a lot of folks that's trying to treat each other right. You do the same things. Yeah, we're trying to stimulate each other. And it's verse 25, not forsaking our own assembling. Underline both of these words. Assembling together. And this is not just talking about on Sunday mornings. It's talking about the saints coming together for a cause to stimulate us to good works and good deeds. He says, don't forsake that. Don't choose something secular, something worldly, something selfish. Come together. That's what the Bible tells us. As members of the body of Christ. As the habit of some, and even back then, there were some who just had a habit of not coming together. Praise the Lord. Thank you for being here this morning. Thank you. Thank you for coming. Thank you for deciding. Thank you for putting this on your calendar. Thank you for making this a habit. Because there are many who have not. There are many who don't. There are many who make excuses. There are many who don't. And I know, I'm not, you may be searching, you may be looking, but there comes a point when we decide to be a member of the body, we are a member literally of the body of Christ. And when we are away from the body, says, but encouraging one another. And all the more as you see the day drawing near. That's why, you know, you heard me say in the past that one of my dreams, my visions, sometimes I think about how we can try to improve as children of God. One of my dreams is one day, one time, we getting closer, is that the church is a daily entity that 24/7 that the Lord's church is operating as a body. There's something going on that we can be connected to. Our children, our parents, our seasoned saints, our singles. It's like we have a 24/7. We just family because we are family. Yeah, yeah, and we become a part of each other's lives to the point that Sunday is just a celebration and a praise to God and thanksgiving service. Yeah. Wish, you know, I see some of our seniors, they go to the Hester House and they, you know, they play cards and whatever, they play at bingo they go there 4 or 5 days a week. They didn't come over here. Amen. Some of you young folks, you don't know nothing. You say, well, boy, that's boring. That's because you young. When you get old, you just want somewhere to come. Amen. Be together. That you don't have to be scared. Amen. Yeah. Our young people can come, you know, come over here, you know, in the evening, on Friday evenings. And come in Friday evening, they don't have to go to the party. They can come right here. Or we can go some designated place that Christians are. And you don't have to have smoking weed and drinking all over the place. And I'm talking about 24/7. Because, see, we see, it's hard. See, none of you going to curse me out right now. Are you? You better not. Because we're together and we stimulate and we strengthen. So we're strong right now. Some of you in your mind, you're saying, amen, Brother Gary, amen. Boy, I need this every day. I need this all the time. We all need it. Because I got some bad habits I'm trying to break. So let's commit. Let's commit. Listen, I need to end. Togetherness. See. Our responsibility is to encourage, build up each other, to grow, to appreciate our leadership, faithfulness to the Lord's church. Encourage each other, togetherness. Listen, 1 Corinthians 12:12. For even as the body is one and yet has many members, and all the members of the body, though they are many, are one body, so also is Christ. All of us, everybody. The quietest person in here that's a member, you still a member. The youngest person that's a member, you still a member. The oldest person that's a member. The disabled person, the person that's in the wheelchair, the person that gives a penny every week, you still a member of this body. He says this in 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 14, for the body is not one member, but many. Stop saying that you don't need to come to church to be together. Stop saying you come whenever you feel like it. I put it on my calendar sometimes. Because you are a member of the body, and I'm a part of that body, and when you're not a part of that body, we're not a whole body. Ephesians 4:16. From whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by what every joint supplies, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in love. That's in our Bibles. And so as a member of the body, it is my God-given responsibility to operate as a member in the body of Christ. Let's pray that God will help us to grow. Amen. Let's pray that God will help us to understand our responsibilities, to find our place in the Lord's church. It's beautiful when it works like God intended it to work. It's a beautiful picture. And that's our goal. Now, we know we're not there yet. And we're not trying to beat nobody over the head. But we want to lay down God's expectations. And no, without a doubt, no making excuses. If we fall short, don't make excuses by, I don't have to do it. Just say, I fell short. Amen? Just say, I got some growing to do. But I want to be a part of the body, because the Bible tells us one day Jesus is going to come back for his body.
Yes, sir.
And I don't want to be disconnected from the body of Christ. Amen? If you're here today and you're not a child of God, you need to be. It's the best life. It's a beautiful life to be a part of his body. I know the church has gotten a bad name because there are many who have abused their power. Members bark and bite and devour one another. And sometimes people just say, I don't want to be a part of that. And I'm going to tell you something, I don't blame them. I don't want to be a part of. That's one of the reasons why we speak on the things that God asks us to speak on. Because some folk don't understand their role in the body of Christ. So if you're here today, you want to be a member of the body of Christ, you can by faith. Believing that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Without faith, it's impossible to please him. He that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a reward of those who diligently seek him. We need to pray for each other also, because so many in the body right are going through some trials, and it can be very discouraging, and it can be very, very lonely. And we need to pray for each other as much as we can and encourage each other as much as we can. If you're not a member of the body, and you need to repent of your sins, Luke 13:3-5, I tell your neighbor, except unless you repent, you shall also likewise perish. You must confess the sweetest name. Whosoever therefore shall confess me before me, and him will I confess before my Father, which is in heaven. But if you deny me before me, and I deny you before my Father, which is in heaven, Matthew 10:32. You must be baptized in water for the remission of, for the forgiveness of all of your sins. Christ died for all of our sins. And you do that, God adds you to his family. You're in there and stay in there, connected to his family until you die. And so if you want to be in the body, we don't have a credit application. We don't send you through an interview. You give your belief, your trust to God. You baptize in water. God adds you to the church. Yeah, yeah. But when we're added to the church, we haven't arrived until we die this death. And we're to live faithful unto death. And God will give us a crown that fadeth not away. And so if you're here today and you want to be a member of this body that you can read about in the Bible, this church that you can read about in the Bible, and every church don't teach the same thing. So I'm not one of these persons say just believe in the Lord Jesus and go to the church of your choice. No, it's not the church of your choice. It's the church of God's choice. Amen. That does things God's way. Amen? Amen. And if you are a member of this body of Christ and you need the prayers of the righteous this morning, then you come and we'll pray for you. Won't you come as we stand and sing the song of
Imitation? There's a fountain free, tears for you and me. Let us haste to its brink.
Yeah.
Tis the fountain soul, sir.